Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. This is Easter weekend, the holiest time of the year on the Christian calendar. And today is Good Friday, the day Christ was crucified. Well, tonight we're asking, what's so good about Good Friday? Are you good? We're also discussing the power of faith transformations. My guests are Dante King, pastor of Forward Church DMV, and Vanessa Elam, founder of the faith-based women's empowerment organization, the She Is Free Collective. If you have a comment, if you have a question about tonight's discussion, give us a call. Lines are open right now at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Vanessa, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And Pastor Dante King, it is. I haven't seen you in a minute.
It's been a minute. COVID kept us
apart. I know. How about that? How about that? You don't have any COVID pounds on you.
No, sir.
Yeah, okay. We're going to have to talk about that later. Okay. Anyway. All right. Vanessa, let me start with you. You know, can we just talk about what is so good about Good Friday, because for the faithful who know the story and for those who just know the story and are not faithful, mm-hmm. that road to Calvary, mm-hmm. and the brutality of the crucifixion, you know, some folks would say that was not necessarily a good day. It was a difficult day. It was a painful day. It was a horrific day.
Surely.
From your perspective, what's so good about Good Friday?
I think as a believer, and for those who are not believers, we have things in our lives that seem traumatic, harmful, hateful, malicious, only to find that there is eventually good from it. And I believe that it is the transformation power of Jesus that turns something into something really bad into something really oftentimes amazing. And I can attest to it in my own life as well as the life of those that I've, you know, met along this road. So you're right. It's not good, but it was for good because Jesus took our sins with him when he died on that cross. And that is what is the good news. That is what is good about it.
Mm-hmm. You know, Pastor King, a lot of people who will reflect on Good Friday, and no one living today was there, obviously, mm-hmm. but we have all kinds of representations from biblical texts, from stories to movies and television. And as I said, the imaginings of just how rough that day was, and saying it was rough is really an understatement, but you say that was not a good day for mm-hmm. Jesus. But as Vanessa said, it was good for us, whether we believe or not. Talk to me about that for those people who just look at that day and just say, I have to shield my eyes because of the mm-hmm. horrors of the day.
I think one good thing about that day is that in theology we call it the ontological dualism of Christ. Mm-hmm. We get to see his dual nature. He was God and man. And I think what Good Friday shows us that we see him doing all type of miracles, but we never see his humanity. But on this Good Friday, we see him actually suffering as a man, calling on his Father as a man. So we get to see the humanity of him along with seeing the deity of him. It lets me know that if he went through it and got up, whatever I go through, I can get up as well. So getting the opportunity to see the ontological dualism, as you said, as he carried the cross up to Via Dolorosa, someone stopped and helped him carry it. It lets me know that even though he's God in the flesh, he still needs help carrying things sometimes. So to see the humanity of him on that day does a lot for me as a believer.
When you look at the reason for Jesus on the cross, and that he died for us, forgiving our mm-hmm. sins. Does that make us good? Or do we have a responsibility for being good, even the faithful, Vanessa, and knowing that Jesus died for our sins, as they used to say in the old church, washed, you know, washed in the blood, wash our sins away. But with that said, does that automatically make us good? What is our responsibility for being good?
It does in Jesus' eyes. And how we show up in the earth realm, how we treat our brothers and sisters, how we express our faith, is what becomes good. We use Jesus' example on the cross to recognize trial and tribulation. And, you know, let's say, like you said, it's to say that it was a rough day is an understatement.
Yes.
So to recognize that we, too, are going to have traumatic situations, we're going to have trials and tribulations, and to know that Jesus was able to overcome the cross, and that he sees us as the righteousness of God is where the good. So that automatically, yes, makes us good. Mm-hmm. Are we good and doing, in our humanity, doing bad things? Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So we're not unequivocally good, but in the eyes of God, we are his children and we are good.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are having a Good Friday conversation. We're asking, what's so good about Good Friday? Are you good? If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, Pastor King, how would you define being good in 2023 when you have the discussion within the parameters of Good Friday?
Well, first of all, I don't think no one can qualify what good is. It's subjective at best, because what's good to you may not be good to me. And like Vanessa said, we have to understand that he became what I was. So he wasn't a fornicator, he became fornication. He wasn't a liar, but he became the lie. So everything that I was, he became. That way I'm good through him. There's no good in myself. The Bible even said there's no good that dwells in us, because in me is the will to do wrong. I can do wrong quicker than I can do right. I don't have to think about it. Even a child. You ask a child, did you steal the cookie? They'll say no. They never took a lying class. No one taught them how to lie. So in my nature is not to do good. So I can't do good of my own. It's only because of him I can do good, because he died for what I was.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. What's good about Good Friday? Are you good? Let's go to Tyler, calling from D.C. Tyler, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I would say I'm good today because Jesus died on the cross for the goodness of others. So I say it's the goodness of others' day. It's what the good that comes from us, you understand, and he died for the goodness of others. So I say it's the goodness of others that I'm good in spite of, because he already made it good for us. So it's a good day regardless of, in spite of. And no matter what you're going through, it's a good day regardless of Good Friday. And I believe that he died for us on that cross for the goodness of others.
Okay.
So it's all what we can do to make this a better place, do better tomorrow than we've done today.
Tyler, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Freddie, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Freddie. What's on your mind?
Just wanted to say Good Friday. If it was so good, why is it that for over 400 years, nothing good has really happened for black people?
That's an interesting question. Mm-hmm. Who wants to tackle that?
That's a deeper theological concept of whether anything has happened good for us. But I would say a lot has happened good for us. If you look back from 1619 to the day the first slave ship got until today, we've made a lot of progression. And it's been by the grace and help of God that we've overcome. We're not there yet. We've definitely made strides.
Mm-hmm. Vanessa, absolutely. Any thoughts about that?
I would have to agree with Pastor King.
Okay. Freddie, thank you so much for your question. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. JB, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, JB. What's on your mind?
Yes. I believe it's actually Wednesday instead of Friday, because the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights, and the Jewish day started at 6 in the evening. And so you can't get 3 days and three nights from Friday.
You know, I've always loved this theological math conversation. I mean, the Smithsonian has tried to tackle this. We have seen specials on this since I was a kid. You know, Pastor, I know you want to tackle that issue.
Yeah, well, actually, the Jews, they started from the sunset. So from sundown to sundown is a day. So he died Friday. That's a day. Sundown is the night. Saturday is a day. Next day is a night. Sunday morning is a day. So that's 3 days and three nights, if you look at it according to how the Jews celebrate a day. A day doesn't start at midnight or 6 o'clock. Sundown to sundown is a Jewish day.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the big issues with this is we often see these things through the eyes of modern interpretation.
Right, correct.
And being the theological scholar that I am.
That's good.
Yeah.
Reverend, oh, Reverend.
We're going to take a break then.
Right, yeah,
that's,
Reverend.
That's, you know, that's theological scholars.
Yeah, that's right. Pastor Debnam, I think you'd be really happy with me right now. JB, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. One of the things, before we go back to the phones, that I wanted to discuss, because one of the things in pop culture that has arisen lately is the discussion about, video model influencer Blac Chyna. She was on the Tamron Hall show last week, and she was talking about a transformation, a faith-based transformation that she has made recently. I want you to listen to this, and then we can talk about it on the other side.
I had so many negative things that was being attached to me and to my body and to my soul and to my mind, to where as though it would affect like my day to day and just different things in my life. So for
me, a person who went to church regular, was faith a part of your journey before now?
No. So normally every kids get baptized like when they're babies or when they're younger. This was my first time ever being baptized.
As Angela White, faith was not a part of the journey of
faith was there, but I just was never baptized.
You know, it's a very, very fascinating, conversation, because in addition to the spiritual transformation, she also made a physical transformation. She had breast implants. She had those removed. She had a Brazilian butt lift. She had that removed, the implants in her face. She went from Blac Chyna to using her given name, Angela White. You know, from your perspective, Vanessa, I mean, just as a woman of faith, this was a 360-degree transformation. What does that mean for women who are coming into the faith, newly born?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I believe that each transformation is completely unique. And, you know, the difference between religion and within Christianity is that we have a relationship, and that relationship with Christ is very personal. His desire is to have a personal relationship with us. So what I think would work for me, or how my life is evolving as I'm growing, as I'm learning more about Christ, as I'm showing up more Christ-like, my walk will look very different than someone else's. So I really applaud her for, one, being so open about it, because I believe that her story will certainly encourage others. Many times as women, we feel trapped in a culture that is looks and size and image obsessed. And, oftentimes women have plastic surgery as a choice to enhance. And then others feel as though it's absolutely necessary to be accepted or to be in a particular culture. I don't know what her reasons were. But whatever it was, the Holy Spirit is speaking to her to say, release all of that and come to me. So maybe those things make her feel a certain way now, and maybe what she's doing is looking at that as her old life, and now she's walking into her new life, and she wants to walk into that without the accoutrements.
Yeah, and this certainly isn't a knock on plastic surgery.
Oh, no, absolutely not. I'm here for it.
Yeah. Okay. That's another show.
Do you?
But all jokes aside, I mean, like you said, some people are here for it. Some people are completely against it. Some people are like, yeah, I don't care. But I think that in the broader discussion about, in her case, she's making a full transition. And I think one of the interesting things is, and we can talk about this after the break, is that when people make a faith transition or in the common nomenclature, they get saved, they change. And I want to talk about those people who do make a faith transition in their lives, how they deal with the old them, the new them, and everybody else.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So definitely stay with us. Don, calling from Maryland. We're going to talk to you. Riley, calling from D.C. Mary, calling from Maryland. Please do not hang up. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM in just a few seconds. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're still going to be taking your phone calls. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we're asking, what's so good about Good Friday? You good? We're also discussing the power of a faith transformation. My guests are Dante King, pastor of Forward Church DMV, and Vanessa Elam, founder of the faith-based women's empowerment organization, the She Is Free Collective. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Don, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Don, are you there? Give me a call back if you can. Let us go to Mary. Mary, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Mary. What's on your mind?
I would like to say that, yes, I think a lot has happened, and I think that God sees us in His righteousness. We are. As long as we're doing what thus says the Lord, I think that we are clothed in His righteousness. So God don't see that, because all our sins were taken to Calvary. And every sin was there. So that means that all of our sins nailed Him to that cross. But what held Him on that cross was the love that His Father had, that gave His only begotten Son to die for us. So we have to always remember that. It's love, and that's what it's all about, is loving.
Okay. Mary, thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Riley, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Riley. What's on your mind? Riley, are you there? Give us a call back if you can. So before the break, we were looking at the example of Black China. Now, one of the things that she said in that soundbite that we heard, she said she had never been baptized before. You know, Pastor at Forward Church DMV, do you all do immersion baptism?
Yes, we do.
Why? You know, let's do a little faith 101. Mm-hmm. I was raised in the Methodist church. You got the sprinkle. Yeah. You know, I'm Baptist now. I got the whole immersion. Mm-hmm. Okay. But she said that her baptism was transformative for her. But while that is a ceremony, obviously, and a practice, and it is emotional, mm-hmm. without a doubt, anyone can attest to that. I most certainly can. But it's not the end all be all.
Mm-hmm. No, baptism is like my wedding ring. Baptism is an outward symbol to show that there's been an inward change. Mm-hmm. If I take my ring off, I'm still married. It's just a symbol of a commitment that I've made, which baptism is. I think what she's alluding to is that the transformation that is taking place on the inside. And the problem with this, as Vanessa was leading to, is that everyone has a then. But people who know you're then can't believe you're now. And people who know you're now can't believe you had a then. So she's stuck in a quagmire between the people who knew her as Black China and the people who know her as Angela. And the people who knew her as Angela can never accept her as Black China. And that's when we have to walk in the newness of God. I'm a new creature. So it doesn't matter how you accept me, whether you still know my past, maybe you'll never get over it. It doesn't matter. But I'm going to walk in the newness of life. And I think that's where she is now. She has to walk the newness of life out. Baptism aside, with baptism, without baptism.
How does someone deal with those kinds of criticism, you know, Vanessa, you know, the folks you went to the club with?
Mm-hmm.
The ones that you stayed out late or stayed out early.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And all of that. Go ahead.
All of that.
And more.
Yeah, you don't know anything about that. But, but you know, how do you defend the new life that you have, or should you have to defend it?
I was taught and have experienced that you do not need to defend. And because it is an inward decision, it's more about sharing the transformative, the resurrection, if you will, of yourself to other people. And I believe, you know, for most people, they just have to be shown. And you have to have that literal tenacity to stand strong in what you know about Christ and the Christ in you. You need to study so that you have scripture to support you, and then surround yourself with people who will help you in your walk and in your growth. But it is difficult to encounter people who remember you when and who will constantly remind you, or those that want to bring you back, especially in, you know, in the case of, you know, behaviors that would be detrimental, you know, drugs, alcohol, you know, whatever your ism or your it was. You know, and oftentimes there is a need to distance ourselves from that past life, which also sometimes means distancing ourselves from those people as well. And I think that that's oftentimes where the criticism comes in too, because we get the, oh, you're new now, mm-hmm. you know, now you got saved, you know, you go to church now, you don't know us. When in truth, we're trying to hold on to what we just got. You know, we're trying to, because we've recognized that whatever we were doing before, whatever that past life was, wasn't good for us. And it's time to move forward. So it is definitely not easy. And there's also the inner turmoil. We want to go back. You know, some people, yes, miraculously accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, whether they get baptized or not, and are able to completely walk away from whatever it was that they, you know, were before. But then you have people who don't and can't and find it hard, because in our humanity, in our flesh, we still desire those things that we were doing, you know, whether it was the club or whatever it was. You know, I could give a very long list, as could you, right, Pastor? A long list of those things, those people. Sometimes we were addicted to people or, you know, a behavior with people. And, you know, the enemy, if you will, or the inner me, depending on how you want to look at it, is always, you know, calling us back, tempting us back to go to that thing and to create a new default setting. Instead of moving into that, moving in that sinful behavior is not easy.
If I could just add to what you're saying as well, there's a scripture in church that we misquote. The Bible said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." We don't understand what that means. What that means is, I heard you had an abortion, so. Heard it's your second marriage, so. Heard you used to be a stripper, so. So sometimes you have to learn how to say so to things instead of internalizing them. It'll drive you crazy.
Amen.
So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Because actually the church is a Me Too movement. Mm-hmm. Had an abortion, me too. Used to drink, me too. You did drugs, me too. And if the church would take on more of a Me Too movement, more people would get saved.
But does that necessarily mean, settle down, Vanessa, come on.
We have a church. You didn't tell me we were going to have church this afternoon.
I said this was a faith-based
yes,
conversation.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
I said that. So,
I admit.
Yeah. But that doesn't. But having a faith transformation doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to instantly become a nun or a priest.
Of course not. I am far from it. I've been saved over 22 years, but I still have road rage. I still have to catch myself. Vanessa said, not trying to cuss people. I still know how to curse. I didn't get saved and forgot how to cuss. I can cuss with the organ playing, but I have to choose not to. I can go from 0 to 100 real quick, but I have to make a choice not to. You follow what I'm saying? So, no, none of us becomes nuns or perfect overnight, but we have to make a choice, a deliberate choice, that I'll walk this way opposed to walking that way.
But don't misunderstand my question. I'm not necessarily suggesting that once you have this faith transformation that you are still vulnerable to the bad, but that you can still have the personality that you had before. Mm-hmm. It's just that you can be good. In other words, now that you've had this faith transformation, Vanessa, you can still come to the cookout.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
You know, yes. you can still, you know, do the electric slide.
Yes. I do often.
Exactly.
As often as possible.
Yes. But the reason I say that is because you have some people, particularly those who are outside of the faith, who automatically assume that the change is so dramatic, mm-hmm. that you may see yourself as a new person, but they see you as a new person,
mm-hmm.
and you are still who you are. You are just better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that we do a disservice in terms of judging one another. And I think that's not only outside the church. I think it's inside the church. I think even inside the faith-based community, there is a lot of judgment about the growth and the speed of that growth with people. You know, we want the skirt to go lower. We want the blouse to go higher. We want, and, you know, I'm specifically talking
about women
mm-hmm. because this is my area. And, you know, I served as the women's director for my church, my former church, for 15 years. And I saw, you know, there's double standards. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, why, you know, this person went outside and smoked a cigarette after a service was over because they're still addicted to smoking. And that didn't go away when they went to the altar and gave their life to Christ. So it is a process.
Mm-hmm.
And the new that people are looking at, the new is really inside. But we're looking, we always need the outside evidence. And you don't always see the outside evidence right away. But it's really in how we're looking at life, how we're treating one another, how we're treating ourselves, which is something we don't talk about enough. Mm-hmm. Are we treating ourselves well? Are we forgiving ourselves? Because some of that behavior that we're continuing is a lack of forgiveness of self. Jesus already took it to the cross and killed it, and we're still holding it against ourselves, and that keeps us in a very traumatic pattern in life and going back. And then if you slip, so to speak, and some of those old folks see you, then it's like, oh, she ain't really saved.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she don't really know the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's really the world needs to stop with the judgment,
mm-hmm.
and allow people their process to work out their relationship with Christ. I think that we would do so much better.
Absolutely.
If we were kinder to one another and recognizing what's easy for me to overcome. Mm-hmm. You know, I can say today I'm going to lose 20 pounds and start eating salad and drinking smoothies and eating fish, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, when my husband goes to sleep, I might be downstairs with Hershey bars and, you know, and Häagen-Dazs ice cream because I'm struggling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a struggle, you know, and
absolutely.
The struggle's in the flesh, whereas somebody else will be like, well, I did it. I lost weight. I did, you know, 20 pounds and it was nothing. We're all different. We're all, you know,
yeah.
our what do we want to call it? Our sore spots or our proclivities. Thank you.
Yeah.
Proclivities.
And one thing about the church, the indictment against the church is we don't celebrate progression and progress. We want perfection. We don't celebrate the fact that this person didn't get high in 3 weeks.
So true.
We want them to stop smoking altogether. You didn't get high in 3 weeks. We're going to celebrate you. So we need to celebrate progression and stop looking for perfection.
Mm. But to that point, how do you, within the faith community, address the judgmental part? Because, okay, here's an example. If all of a sudden someone has a faith transformation, saved, whatever you want to call it, and then all of a sudden he or she, they may not be doing what they used to do, but now they are condemning the folks that that are doing the electric, well, I don't dance anymore,
mm-hmm.
okay? And you should not either. And then they start pointing fingers, and I would argue that that is one of the things that keeps people who are standing at the precipice of secular and faith, who are going to church and not going to church, because the people within the community are not welcoming.
It's easy for me. It's easy to judge you on a sin that I don't like. But if I like a certain sin, me and my sin buddies can hang out together. But if you're doing something, one thing I hate that the church hops on is homosexuality. I can mm-hmm. point out every homosexual, that's not my thing. But if my thing is overeating or gluttony or whatever the case may be, it's hard for me to judge that. So we need to stop being, as you said, so judgmental and realize that Christ, here's the thing, I'm going to say this real quick. Christ died for the category. The church likes to talk about the subtopics.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
The category is perversion. Whatever subtopic comes under, whether it's homosexuality, lesbianism, adultery, we want to talk about, forget the subtopics. He died for the category. And we all fall into the category that he died for.
So how do you teach the faithful about what you just said? Here's another example. I had a schoolmate who has had a faith transformation that has lasted for decades, but she wasn't like that in school. Okay, I don't care. But during homecoming, she sits outside, the dance hall where we have our party. But when her song comes on from back in the day, she literally runs in, dances, and comes back out. What is that? What is that where I don't dance anymore except for this song because I can't resist it? Is that the addiction, like you said, because this is not what the Lord wants me to do, but my song comes on, I got to get in, I got to go in and get it, and then I got, what is that?
A box.
Okay.
A box. Somehow she has interpreted the scripture as one, and she may have either interpreted the scripture or she may have gotten it from her church culture that her doing her dance and her song is wrong and bad. So which is why she runs in and runs back out. So it's like, I'm a come out of salvation for, the
3 minutes.
The three minutes and 30 seconds. And then I'm going to go back to being saved.
Right.
Uh-huh. And in truth, she never stopped. Her salvation didn't go anywhere. And, we have such a box around God about what is good and what is bad. And it's very legalistic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that comes from, that has a legalistic energy attached to it,
in
my
opinion.
What do
you mean by that?
Legalistic in that, everything is the do's and the don'ts.
Mm-hmm.
If you're saved, I received Jesus in an apostolic church, and I'm not going into denominations, but in that particular church, that local church, I couldn't wear pants.
Everything fun is sin.
I couldn't wear makeup. So anything that was fun. So the only thing we were allowed to do was bowl. So, and having, even listening to secular music was considered of the world, and therefore, and then you would get the, well, you're going to hell. Well, wait a minute. How am I going to hell when Jesus died so that I wouldn't go to hell?
Mm-hmm.
And he knew that I was going to, do certain things, but we have made everything that certain people think is not right, we've made it wrong. And when we do, we get people who run in and do their dance for 3 minutes and then run back out and get saved, and possibly she might even, do a spiritual bath and some other things because,
prostrate before.
Right, yeah. Right, yeah, and not making fun of it, but because a lot of people are very bound, and I think that we forget how free we really are supposed to be in Christ. And instead, sometimes it just seems like we're in one situation where we acting a fool, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
We're just out here doing anything, and then we get this Christ, and then we don't understand that there's still freedom there.
And
it's a different freedom.
And the power of salvation.
Yes.
So if he died for me, and he's powerful enough to do that, if the devil can take me away, then he needs to cease being God. He needs to resign from his title. If he can't keep me saved, he needs to stop, because I can't keep me saved. His promise is that I am a keeper. So if he can't keep me, he can't be God. So since he can keep me, no matter what I do, the Bible says, can nothing pluck me out of his hand.
And you said something really interesting. I've never heard it put quite this way. Everything fun is sin for mm-hmm. some, you know, for some yeah. people. And I would agree that, you know, in some, you know, faith-based communities, it is like that. So here's the question. Maybe it's a rhetorical question, but I know you're going to try to answer it anyway because I know you can. We know Jesus wept, but did he laugh?
I'm sure he did.
You know, we know that, you know, he was invited to the wedding party. You know, he turned water into wine. We know that. Mm-hmm. And we know that, you know, biblical weddings were times of celebration where there was, you know, dancing, and the like. And so, I lay all that before you, to say that, you know, can you have fun and be a person of faith without tripping all over yourself and wondering if the Lord's going to take you the next day?
Yeah, I remember growing up, my grandma was Seventh-day Adventist. I grew up Seventh-day Adventist, apostolic, same thing. Back then, God would kill you right now. Like, you're going to hell today. Mm-hmm. Like, don't pass, go, don't collect $200, go straight to hell. And it's frightening you. God doesn't want us to serve him out of fear. Mm. That's not love.
Fire and brimstone.
If I put a gun in my wife's head for her to make love to me, she's not doing it out of love. She's doing it out of fear. That's not what God wants us to do. So understanding that he loves me, it takes it out of religion and puts it into relationship. Now, when I have relationship, mine is different than Vanessa's, different than yours, Harold. We all have three different relationships with the same God. He loves you a different way, speaks to you a different way, you a different way, and me a different way. Have to understand that it's not a religious dogma that this is the only way it can be done. It doesn't make sense. I have five children. I love all of them the same love, but my expression of love is different to each and every one of them because they need it in a different way. But I'm still the same father loving five children with the same love in a different way.
Mm-hmm. You know, Vanessa, it's 2023, and faith has been politicized. Mm. It has been demonized. It has been attacked and used as a foil. What is the message that you look to hear during this Holy Weekend, considering all of the turmoil around Christian faith in this country? What do you want to hear? What do you need to hear?
Hope. And the resurrection is hope. It is that whatever is going on with me, I have hope that it can get better. You know, whether it's sickness in my body, whether it's, you know, family turmoil, whether it's work issues, the myriad issues that face humanity, I want to be reminded of Jesus' love for me. And I want to be reminded of one, you know, I always say this, that Jesus' resume is good with me. Mm-hmm. You know, all I have to do is look back at the last, I don't even want to say how many years on the radio, but, you know, 45 plus years. And mm-hmm. then not only mine, we are supposed to gain encouragement from looking at one another. Because as we're in relationship, we see the transformation in our friends and in our families and others that have go through. Mm-hmm. So when I see someone whose son was shot and killed, and I walk to the altar with that woman, and she can still praise God, where she still may be saying, God, why? Why my son? But at the same time can praise God and trust God to say, if it is your will, it is your will. Now help me with it. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, oftentimes we have to grapple with a decision that's not within our control. And it is that faith in God. It is that walk that we've had to give us the faith that somehow God will heal it. Somehow God will comfort us. Somehow God will help us to understand and to move forward. And I think that's so many of the things that we're seeing these days is religion mm-hmm. versus relationship. And, you know, like you just said, Pastor, about the dogmas and the, that's not God. That's not Christ. That's not the Christ I know.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. What, in this difficult modern time, you know, Pastor King, what is the message that you need to hear? I know you are going to have a message for the faithful on Sunday. And often when we have you know, clergy persons on the show, we often talk about what they're going to talk about. What's your Christmas message? What's your Thanksgiving message? What's your Easter message? Whatever. But what do you want to hear? What will inspire you?
People who are saved, people who are religious leaders, people who have overcome, I want to see your scars. What do I mean by that? Jesus rose from the dead. He could have came back a perfect, no scars, no scratches. Comes in the room, Thomas said, I don't really believe Slim until I see some evidence. And so that's my Bible. That's my Bible.
Right,
Slim,
like,
Shorty,
I did, Shorty.
That's all in my Bible. He said, Slim, I ain't going to believe Slim. No cap. He said, I got to see some proof that you've been through something.
Right. Uh-huh.
And we have a resurrected Jesus who said, touch my scars. I want to see your scars. I know you're a new creature. I know you saved. But I want to see that you've gone through something. You survived it. And you're not ashamed to show your scar. And I think if more people will be transparent about the deliverance, about the salvation, about where they are in Christ, I think the world will be a better place. We have too many hypocrites in the pulpit, too many hypocrites preaching the word who act like they've never been through anything. So I can't even relate to you. Just show me your scar.
Mm-hmm. What does it mean to you to be good?
To me to be good?
Mm-hmm.
To me to be good would be to follow Christ to best of my ability and continue to fight the good fight of faith. Read that scripture. Doesn't mean the fight was out there, but I think, Vanessa, the fight was in here. Because the battle is the enemy. It's me fighting me to be a better person every day. So every day it's a journey. Every day I don't hit the mark. Every day I don't do everything right. I have to pray and ask God for forgiveness. But I think goodness to me is every day, getting up every day and trying to be a better version of me than I was yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Same question for you, Vanessa. What does it mean to be good? How do you accomplish that?
I think that for me it is a daily decision to live the example of Christ in terms of how I treat other people, to think on a higher level in terms of not above people as in better than them, but to take the high road. Oftentimes, you know, it's not, we sometimes are confronted with things even more so, because I think, you know, people will find out that you're a Christian and throw things at you. You know, it's like, oh, okay, let me see what happens if she does this or says, if we say this or do that. So I think it's really being prayed up in, and that's not to sound churchy, but having a relationship with God, with meditation and prayer, and praise and worship to help me to live, you know, every day, and to really not so much beat the Bible when I meet people, but I want people to see Christ in me, you know, in terms of how I treat them. You know, sometimes it's just your smile. Sometimes, you know, it's the door you open for someone. It's the lady you help to the car at Walmart who's struggling. It's, you know, though, if you look at Jesus, he carried out his ministry very much in that way. And so many of the examples we have, like the, you know, the Good Samaritan, you know, it's how we, you know, walk out the walk every day. I think that's what makes me, quote unquote, good. And I have my good days. And I have my days where I'm like, okay, Lord, I hope I get another chance.
Yeah. Come on, Ice Cube.
Yeah, it's a mighty good day. But it's a good day. But then there are days, and my husband was just actually listening to that song last night. He loves that song, and we were somewhere last night. He said, man, it would be great if they played that song. And like 15 minutes later, they played it. So he loves that song.
Yeah, and I think both of you touched on something that I wholeheartedly agree with, because I think it's so important for people to try to be good when no one is watching.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whether you're talking about, you know, picking up trash on the street, mm-hmm. whether you're talking about taking a breath to address your road rage, you know, deciding that your colorful metaphors will be less colorful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you will do something that your knee-jerk reaction will be one of peace instead of anger. You know, we all have to, you know, we have to work, you know, work on that. And sometimes these things are so subtle that the only person who notices them is you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in the end, I would argue that sometimes you, you don't do it so that Pastor King can see it. Mm-hmm. You don't do it so that Sister Vanessa can see it, but you do it so that you can feel good about yourself and that you can sleep at night knowing that on this Good Friday, you tried to be, a better person, and that you're going to try tomorrow to be better than you were the day before.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And I think... I think this is a good way to end this conversation. I think that this is going to be a Good Friday, even as we come to the end of it, and a day for reflection, because, and if you think about it, you know, that the pandemic isn't that far behind us.
It is not.
And if you think about those that we've lost and the trials and tribulations that all of us have gone through, and you know, like I said, I haven't seen Pastor King since pre-COVID.
Since pre-COVID.
Yeah, you know, and like I said, you know, you come
still looking good.
Yes, you do. And Vanessa, it is a pleasure to meet you. Thank you so much for being on the program as well.
Thank you for having me.
Look, you both have a wonderful holiday weekend.
Thank you. You do the same.
That is The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Friday, April 7th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins-Wilson, intern Michaela Pierre, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Good night, and have a wonderful weekend.